What is up, everybody? This is the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Rock Spotlight's mission is to connect others through an educational podcast. Each episode will highlight someone from Rochester, New York, in the health and wellness space who is thinking outside of the box, providing exceptional products and or services, and is elevating our community. Make sure to stay tuned after the podcast for more information on my practice, on my approach to healing, and a little bit more about myself. Thanks for listening, guys. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Rock Spotlight Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Matt Driscoll, and today we will be talking all about neuroscience. The buzzword neuroplasticity has given so many scientists, doctors, and patients hope in recent years, as we can literally rewire the brain through certain treatments. Today, my guests and I will break down this exciting concept and how we can use it to treat specific neurological disorders. I have Dr. Lindsay Zangi on the podcast, who is doing exceptional work in our Rochester community, and I'm so excited to have this discussion. So with that, let me introduce our special guest. Lindsay Zangi is a passionate neurophysical therapist and owner and founder of Empower Physical Therapy and Wellness. Empower is a physical therapy practice whose mission is to empower individuals with neurological diagnoses and chronic diseases to achieve optimal mobility with confidence through highly specialized physical therapy and exercise. Although she is a native of Western New York, she attended Elon University in North Carolina. There, she competed in Division I track and field while earning her bachelor's degree in exercise sports science. She returned home to the Rochester area, where she completed her doctorate degree in physical therapy from Nazareth College. Lindsay started her career at Kessler Institute of Rehabilitation in West Orange, New Jersey, one of the top rehab hospitals in the country, where she worked with individuals following recent spinal cord injuries and complex neurological diagnoses. Lindsay has been practicing PT for over 10 years and has vast experience working with a variety of patients with neurological disorders in settings, including acute rehab, home health, and adjunct teaching at Nazareth College on-campus neuromuscular and multiple sclerosis clinics. Her advanced training and experience have allowed her to become a board-certified neurologic clinical specialist. When she's not helping her patients, she loves spending time with her husband and two children, exercising and running, yes, for fun, and trying new recipes in the kitchen. So with that, I'd like to welcome Lindsay. How are you doing today, Lindsay?
I'm great, Matt. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for your time today. This is going to be fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
First off, well, congrats on the new practice. That's so exciting.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's new. I launched my business in June and just opened an actual physical space November 1st. So I am in Penfield and I'm loving it so far.
So 2020 has been an exciting and good year for you.
It has. I am making the best of it, as I feel like we all need to.
I love it.
Yeah.
So let's dive right in. We got a lot to talk about today. Tell us why you got into the health field.
Yeah. So ever since I was a kid, as cliche as this is, I've always wanted to help people. And so early on, I knew that and I tried to find the best fit for myself and how I wanted to help people. So when I got to college, I knew I wanted to be in the medical field. I started with sports medicine because I have been an athlete all my life. And then through that and some experiences I had running and with injuries, I myself had some physical therapy, and so through that experience, I then found that, you know, this is it. This is the field I wanted to be in. So I pursued that further education in physical therapy and getting my doctorate. And then during the program at Nazareth, I had the privilege of working in their on-campus clinics, one of them which is a neuromuscular clinic. So doing some pro bono work for patients in the community who have had some kind of a neurological injury, could have been a brain injury or stroke or MS. Spinal cord injuries, and that just really started my passion and desire to continue to work with those patients in different settings. And so that is why I got into physical therapy and then really kind of fueled the direction I took within that discipline.
So let's talk about Empower First of all, I love your colors that you chose. I love the orange and I think it's orange and blue, right?
Yeah, orange, blue, lime green. I'm a very bright person and I wanted something that was engaging for not just myself, but for patients in the community. So
I love them. Very, very engaging. So take me through a typical day at the office.
I usually start my day with, I always start my day personally with exercise, which I think we're going to talk a little bit more as we go into the podcast today. But it's when I get to the office, I'm doing some prep work. I'm always looking for, looking through literature, reading the most recent research to provide my clients and patients I'm working with the most up-to-date information and guidance for my treatments. And then I'm going through, I offer group classes. So bringing clients in for group, small group exercise classes, as well as then providing one-on-one treatments, both in the clinic and at individuals' homes. So depending on the day, I could be in the clinic for part of the day. And then the rest of the day might be traveling around to individuals' homes to provide them treatment at home.
So I'm assuming less of that with the new practice, or are you going to do both moving forward?
I am still doing both moving forward. The idea of the clinic location was just to provide patients with a place to go to provide these services on this side of town, so the east side of town. Certainly there are options across the county, but I wanted to try to tie into that location to give patients better access to care, but then as well, providing just a wide range of opportunity for clients to get the care that they need. So that's why I'm continuing to offer those treatments in home.
So cool what you do. There's such a need for your services. So let's talk about the types of patients that you work with.
Yeah, so great question. So I think when most people think of physical therapy, they think of maybe an ankle injury or a knee injury or a total hip replacement or something like that, very orthopedic based. The clients that I work with are patients who have had some kind of a neurological insult. So again, like I mentioned earlier, it could have been a patient who's had a stroke, somebody with a spinal cord injury, MS, anything that affects your brain and spinal cord. And really, I think every individual has that in their system. So I'm trying to be as specific as possible, but certainly there are other individuals with chronic conditions like osteoporosis. And so I can work with those individuals as well. Individuals who may have neuropathy secondary to diabetes or maybe just genetic. So there's a wide range of individuals, but really honing in on those who have had some kind of a disability due to something within their central nervous system.
This is much deeper than just an ankle sprain. Yes. I mean, some of your patients are, I don't want to say severely, but severely disabled. I mean, there's a lot going on here.
And absolutely. You know, I think these individuals, unlike maybe somebody who has had, I'm just going to use that example as like an ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go to therapy and you can recover fully, typically with like an orthopedic type injury. These individuals are requiring some kind of an intervention, whether it's a skilled physical therapy one-on-one session or more of what we call like maintenance exercise to prevent decline in their quality of life. So I'm looking at these individuals really over the course of their life. And I feel like that's where, as a community, we're kind of lacking options for folks. And so that's kind of where I come in with Empower Physical Therapy.
But you get to develop these strong relationships. This is an ongoing, like you said, this is lifelong. This is so cool.
It is, absolutely.
And it's more than just physical exercise. I mean, there's camaraderie, community.
For sure. Social aspects to it. Yes.
So let's dive into, so today's topic is using neuroplasticity to treat neurological disorders. So what exactly is neuroplasticity?
Yeah, so neuroplasticity, like you mentioned, it's kind of a buzzword, and especially if you're in the health field. But if you, you know, look at our brain, we have billions and billions of neurons. And neuroplasticity is this amazing capacity of our nervous system to change based on interactions with our environment. So the neurons are what transmit information from our brain really to the rest of our body and our peripheral nervous system. So They have the capacity, though, to change their structure and function in response to input that we generate by through activity and through learning that we're doing. So if you think of this network of neurons, they're very similar to roadways. And so the more roads are used in the correct way, the more that pathway is strengthened in the brain. So just like a road would become worn over time, if you're doing the right things to the brain as far as learning and interaction, you can strengthen and regenerate these pathways to build new roads, so to speak, and strengthen the pathways to get more, you know, learn and learn new techniques and function. So what's kind of cool is researchers really used to think that, you know, the brain was really only plastic or changing during childhood. And then once we got to adulthood, there were no new changes. But what we're seeing now is that with any age, and even with any, even an injured brain, they can make changes in the brain with repeated specialized training and instruction. So it's very applicable to what I do with patients, is because I think a lot of patients specifically, you know, like we'll use stroke as this example. They were told after they had a stroke that up to 6 months, whatever function they had regained was really all they would get. And so we know now through the recent research and through these neuroplasticity that the brain is capable of changes and learning new things.
This is so hopeful to hear for your patient base, for me to hear, for my patients, for my listeners. That's awesome that we can literally change the brain. Now, obviously, it's going to be easier for us to change a three-year-old's brain than it is an 83-year-old's brain with a history of stroke. However, it still can change.
Correct. Yeah. And so age is definitely a factor when we look into principles of neuroplasticity. Age is definitely one of them, but I don't think it's the only thing that we should be looking at. There are so many other factors that come into play when we're looking at how we go about structuring treatments and activities for folks to really make huge gains in their function and learning.
Now, neuroplasticity doesn't, I'm kind of going off script, but doesn't have to just be to fix something, correct? So with a stroke patient, we're trying to rewire and almost skip over potholes in the road.
You got it.
And pave a new path. But we can also think of it like learning an instrument, right? Like learning a new language. That's technically neuroplasticity, correct?
Yeah, exactly. So I would say some like real world examples of neuroplasticity, like you mentioned, you know, even kids learning learning to walk or learning a new behavior, right? Those are some things we think about. And the more that they practice, the better they get at it. And then they're walking, right? Some other things, like, you know, researchers have looked at groups of individuals and then correlated what they're doing on a daily basis to their brain. So two specific examples I could give you would be they've done studies on London taxi drivers versus bus drivers. And they found that the cab drivers, the hippocampus, which is just the part of the brain that holds spatial representation capacities, is actually larger than that of a bus driver. And if you think about it, a bus driver is typically driving the same route every day. They don't need to use that part of their brain as much, where taxi drivers are constantly relying on that part of their brain for navigation. So that would be one example of how we see specific changes in the brain with just with occupation. And then the second example I could give you would be musicians, right? So musicians who play musical instruments, for example. So they've looked at piano players, and piano players, even if you're not one, you can picture what they do. They have a lot of repetitive finger movement. And so they're looking at these individuals' brains, and they're seeing increases in volume and size of the motor areas in the brain. And then similarly with those who play the violin, they can see an increase in size in their right motor cortex. So the right side of the brain controls the left hand, and the left hand is what's doing those repetitive active finger movements when playing the violin. So there's definitely a correlation in things we do either for hobbies or occupations on a daily basis that really can strengthen and show increase in size in our brain.
So how do you use this principle in treating patients at your clinic?
Yeah, so there's an article that came out by Climen Jones, and I'm bringing it back to the research just for a second because I feel like this is such a big part of what I do. And in that article, they talk about the 10 principles of experience-dependent neuroplasticity, and that's just, you know, exactly what it means. What experiences are you giving yourself to change the brain? And so when I'm working with patients, I keep some of these in the forefront of my mind. So four specific ones I just wanted to mention today was one that we maybe have all heard before. So use it or lose it, and you don't need to have had a stroke or a spinal cord injury to really make sense of this, right? If we aren't, every thought or skill or action that we do and practice has a specific set of connections that fire in the brain. But if these connections can only really stay strong if we're using them. So if you don't use them, they're going to fade with time. So this is something that I definitely encourage with my patients is that, you know, let's take a stroke, for example. If you have any kind of weakness on one side of your body, our body's natural reaction is going to be to use the stronger side. If we don't start to retrain that weaker side, and using it in very functional ways in therapy, then we're not going to strengthen those pathways. So that would be one, that use it or lose it. Mm-hmm. And then repetition is another one. So practicing rehab frequently and consistency is so key. For example, if you're strength training and you're going to the gym one time a month, you're not going to see much improvement in strength. Wouldn't that be nice? but if you go more frequently, you're definitely going to see greater gains. So your brain is the same way. So that would be that repetition. Our brain really needs hundreds of thousands of repetitions to build and strengthen those pathways that we talked about earlier. And then intensity would be another one. So this really works hand in hand with repetition. If we go back to that gym example, if you use light weights that don't challenge you, you won't see the same results as if you were to push yourself with heavier weights. So intensity and neuro rehab can mean many different things. It could be the number of times you do an exercise. It could be how long you do it for, or how difficult, you know, and challenging that exercise is. So I really try to keep these intensity parameters in mind with my patients to keep them challenged and to keep them progressing. And then I think the last one, which last but definitely not least, is salience. And that's just a really kind of fancy word of saying your exercise or activity really needs to be meaningful to you and the patients that I work with. So, you know, we've seen in research that motivation can really help to facilitate and drive those neuroplastic changes. And this is because, you know, what's meaningful varies from person to person. So your therapy program should really include exercises and activities that are going to motivate you to want to participate and then do more. So those would be the top four that I would say I really keep in mind when treating patients. Of course, there's the other six, but we don't have to go into all of those today.
Those are great. I love those. Yeah. So getting back to the gym and repetitions, I'm still waiting for the exercise pill to come out.
I know. Have you found that when you do?
I haven't found it yet. Yeah, you got to keep me honest with that. If you hear something, let me know.
Yeah, for sure. The quick fix.
Because the older we get, it's just uncomfortable. I mean, I love training. I love lifting weights. But like I did it this morning, and it's just like, oh, man, this is a long 45 minutes. Sucks.
I know. Well, so, you can think of your motivation as maybe the music you listen to, you know,
there right? You go.
Through that activity.
There you go. Or the clock that's just running and ticking down.
Right.
So getting back to neuroplasticity with your target audience. So you have a stroke patient that comes in. Does neuroplasticity cause angiogenesis, which is a fancy term for creating new blood vessels?
So does stroke cause that?
No, does like practicing this neuroplasticity, it can rewire the brain through neuronal connections, but does it also create better blood flow too and create new blood vessels and angiogenesis?
Yeah, so for sure. So a lot of these folks who come in who have had a stroke, usually, most of them, I'll say, you know, 90%, have some underlying condition that maybe they were, they have obesity or diabetes, they were maybe a past smoker. And so, and typically those will go together with just inactivity. So we know that just as we start to move and exercise, that we can then promote improved blood flow, which is one of the huge benefits to exercise, as well as managing like those other symptoms. So that is, you know, as we talk about exercise, that is why it's so important for these individuals to start a program to not only improve quality of life, but to really prevent future strokes. Because we know research has shown that once you've had one stroke, or even a TIA or a mini stroke, you're definitely at a higher likelihood of having other strokes unless, you know, you're having some interventions put in place.
Now, are we talking mild exercise, moderate, high intensity? What do you recommend for that?
Yeah, so for intensity with my folks, so I run a program called the Advanced Stroke Recovery Program. And we know that the research has shown us that high intensity, we'll say moderate to high intensity exercise has been proven to improve those neuroplastic changes in the brain. And so in this program that I run, these individuals are coming in twice a week. They are working at a level of exertion. So I use like a very basic 0 to 10 scale. 0 would be as if you were sitting in your chair at home resting. 10 would be the hardest thing you've ever done, sprinting down a track, let's say. These individuals, when they come in for class, they should be working at a 6, 7, or an 8. So that's moderate to high intensity. And we're working on different activities like strengthening exercises in a circuit format or balance exercises, trying to use all those principles we talked about. So a lot of repetition, a lot of challenge and intensity, and making things salient or motivating them with different things that are important to them. So that's kind of how I structure that program. But when we say high intensity, you know, it really does mean high intensity, and that can be really kind of a subjective term, but I try to make it as objective as possible so that whoever's coming into the group can feel like they are challenged at all times.
For sure. Yeah. Now, what are a few recommendations we can apply right now to improve the health of our nervous systems?
Yes, that's such a good question. I would say, so giving our nerves what they need to build those connections, because we've talked a lot about that already, and that can be achieved really through diet and sometimes supplementation. And so I'll just talk, you know, kind of briefly about the dietary things, because I think it's important to, you know, definitely talk to your doctor about dietary things or a nutritionist if you have one on your, in your care team. But things like dark chocolate, it's really rich in tryptophan. That is an amino acid that helps those neurotransmitters. You know, those are the things that transfer the signals from one nerve ending to another. So that would be one thing. And dark chocolate is always such a great recommendation to get. And then things like calcium and potassium. So if you think calcium, we're thinking milk, leafy greens, eggs, potassium, bananas, oranges, prunes. These hold minerals that really regulate those electrical impulses generated and transmitted by nerves. And then the third thing I would say would be the B vitamins, because those are so key in sending impulses from the brain to the body. So, you know, giving the nerves what they need to build the connections and then protecting the nerves. And those are really your B vitamins again, because each nerve is really protected. If you pictured like an electrical wire or electrical cable, that sheath around that cable is very similar to what surrounds your neurons, and that's called your myelin sheath. And so that acts to insulate the nerves to transmit those impulses. So the B vitamins will really help to protect protect us as we age, to prevent things like Alzheimer's. And B vitamins can be supplemented. So you could definitely talk to your doctor, your functional health provider about those B vitamins. But, you know, beef, eggs, poultry, spinach, those contain a variety of B vitamins. And then things like, you know, you touched on in the beginning, it's been a crazy year for all of us. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. So using techniques like yoga and stretching to help strengthen the nervous system, because we know that when we're really stressed out, our body is releasing things like cortisol, right? That's a hormone that can be kind of over time really horrible for our system, and especially our nervous system. It can affect our memory and our concentration. So finding ways to manage stress. So whether that's yoga, right? Yoga produces that wonderful, just deep breathing, kind of brings us back to that, bringing us back to breath and relaxation techniques. So these can help calm the nervous system. And then, you know, things like just pursuing a well-being to improve the health of your nervous system. So this could be an exercise routine. It could be as simple as a walk. And we know that taking a walk out in nature versus the house or on a treadmill can be, nature can have that really calming effect to our body and help with just decreasing the burden on our nervous system. So I would say all those things would be ways that we can improve the health of our nervous system. And then, you know, one of my favorite apps is Headspace app. Are you familiar with that, Matt? Have you heard of Headspace?
I am, yes. I've used it. I don't think we use it anymore. We use the Peloton for meditation.
Okay.
But regardless, I mean, yeah, just meditating has been a game changer for me, especially for my sleep.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And that Headspace app, I believe it's free, or at least most of the functions on it are free. But you can use the meditation portion of it. It's also got some mindfulness practices. It helps with sleep hygiene. And it's got some exercise and yoga components too.
I believe it is free. Yeah, that's a great app for sure.
Yeah. Well,
those are phenomenal recommendations. So just to summarize, again, nutrition, so dietary needs.
Yeah.
I just want to add on, I'm a nerd and I'm a biochemist. I love biochemistry with nutrition. So the dark chocolate, that's rich in tryptophan, which is an amino acid. Now, tryptophan, also found in turkey, coming up for Thanksgiving, right? That's a precursor to making serotonin, which is the neurotransmitter you were talking about. That helps to stabilize our mood, right? Think of depression. If you have depression, you may be low on serotonin. Now, also serotonin makes melatonin. So if you're struggling sleeping, definitely look into some of that, some dark chocolate. But you want to be careful with the dark chocolate right before bed, probably. Because of the catecholamines and all that, the caffeine, whatnot. But what I found recently to help with falling asleep and staying asleep is a glass of warm milk with honey in it. So I try to avoid dairy. So I'll do like almond milk and I'll warm it up and I'll add a little bit of the simple sugar, the honey. So the milk is rich in tryptophan. And that, again, is a precursor to making melatonin. But the simple sugar helps to drive it across the blood-brain barrier.
Okay, gotcha.
So it really helps to relax your body, get ready for sleep. Again, I told you I'm a nerd with the biochemistry.
That's awesome.
So dark chocolate, calcium, which you can find in so many other sources besides just drinking a big glass of milk, right?
Right. Leafy greens, yeah.
And then your B vitamins, so important. Now, those are water soluble too, so most people shouldn't have an issue taking those. But again, definitely consult with your doctor before supplementing anything.
Correct. And I think a lot of us, you know, again, I do a lot of research too on my own, kind of outside of my scope, but just to mention, you know, I think it's worth mentioning to your doctor if you are going to take B vitamins, because there's some testing that they can do to make sure that you can actually absorb those vitamins, because there are gene mutations that will prevent you from doing it. So you might have to alter the form that you're taking it. But again, just putting on people's radar, I think is important, that can be, those B vitamins are so important to protect your nervous system.
That's a great point. Yeah, you're really absorbing them. Is it a quality supplement, right? Do you have an underlying issue?
Right.
Okay, so dietary, you got some fitness in there. We talked about exercise and then relaxation. Those are great points. They're really simple points, right? But we just have to do them and it creates awesome changes in the body.
Correct, yeah.
So let's talk about your advanced stroke recovery program. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so, you know, over 800,000 people are affected by a stroke each year. And so then we have this kind of resulting long-term disability that may occur with that. So I developed this program because I was finding through working in different settings, whether it was a skilled nursing facility, home health, is that we know that folks are being discharged from the hospital so quickly, faster now versus even a year ago, for a variety of reasons. And so they're coming home without maybe the opportunity of going to rehab, and they're getting home health for maybe a few months. And then they're left with, like, where do I go from here? How do I continue to make gains, even if it is a month after my stroke, or if it's been 6 months or greater after my stroke? How do I make, how do I make improvements? So I was finding that people were falling through the cracks. In other words, they were being discharged and they really didn't have a place to go. They didn't have a place to continue to work on exercise that was safe, or we'll say skilled, with an individual who really understood how what has happened to them is affecting their bodies now. So I developed this program. It's a small group class. So I have about 5 to 6 individuals in each group. And then we're working on offer them exercises that provide a lot of repetitions, a higher or moderate to high intensity, and with the goal of really improving cardiovascular endurance. That's just your stamina, making sure that they're improving their balance and decreasing fall risk, as well as having the benefit of a social setting like a group. So there really isn't anything like this out in the community right now, but it has been shown in the literature and the research that these small group exercise classes can be very helpful for these individuals to help recover function, as well as keep that really good quality of life to prevent further decline after a stroke.
Very cool. Very cool. Now we heard about PlayStation 5 just opened. It just launched, I think, last week. And I don't know, I'm not a gamer, but I know that from a patient this week. Yeah. But my next question is all about virtual reality. So you do some virtual reality with neuro rehab. What is that all about?
Yeah. So this is, the first virtual reality system that I think was used in or studied in the literature was like in the 90s. And it has been something that I am definitely diving into myself to try to figure out how I can use it with individuals to just help further that recovery. So I'm looking into some systems right now, but virtual reality, we're looking for this full immersive environment that can be an entertaining approach to accomplish a goal, improve performance or learning a new activity. And this is then used in physical therapy. So when we're looking at the different systems, we're looking for something that's fully immersive, not 2D or 3D, just like a fully immersive. So they're wearing this headset, and the therapist can then set the environment. We can set the challenge that they are performing in that environment. So as you can imagine or picture, these individuals are interacting with their environment, and it's in a way that they might not otherwise have the opportunity to do, especially like if they're homebound or if they are limited in their function, that they might not be interacting with their community the same way. So like we can make it customizable. Think like, in a grocery store, we could set that setting as grocery store shelves. And I think for anybody who's been in any kind of like balance PT before, they've probably had you reach for cones. And if we go back to salience, cones are like ridiculous because who reaches for cones? So in that specific virtual reality example, you could be wearing that headset and then reaching on your environment would be the grocery store shelves, and you'd be reaching for items to put into your cart. So the patient is interacting with that environment, and they're getting all these really good repetitions in a salient or a motivating environment. So it's very interesting. It's super task specific. It can be very customizable, like I mentioned. It just helps to motivate movement and make things more fun. When I listen to like testimonials from patients, I think the biggest thing that they say is that I've been going to therapy for X number of years, and now I feel like I'm actually engaged in it, where I'm not just doing repetitions to do repetitions. I'm engaged and I'm motivated to do part or all of my therapy session using virtual reality.
We were talking before the podcast about me swinging by just to check out the new practice. I'm definitely coming over now to play some video games, so I can't wait.
We'll get you moving. Don't worry.
Let's go.
Yeah.
So you were talking testimonials. So let's talk about success stories now. Can you share a couple?
Yeah. I think I was preparing for this and thinking about all these patients that I work with. And I think as it relates to like neuroplasticity, I wanted to just share that there was an individual about 6 months ago that I was working with, and she had had a very, very severe stroke more than 12 years ago. and she was limited, or, you know, is limited to her wheelchair for most things. But through participation in the Advanced Stroke Recovery Program, she was able to get out of her house in a social setting and participate in a way that actually at first I was unsure of, because, you know, there are certain parameters to be part of therapy in a group setting. But she had a caregiver come with her to facilitate some things. And I think the biggest change that we've noticed is I collect a lot of objective information, even in a group setting. So my patients in these groups are tested month one, month two, month three, et cetera, to check progress. And for somebody who had been had a stroke so far ago, long ago, she really was able to make huge gains, statistically significant gains in all these tests that we use to measure her cardiovascular endurance. So for example, she was able to not complete a 6-minute walk test, which is exactly what it sounds like, walking for 6 minutes. She was able to start by completing 2 minutes. And then by the end of the program, she was able to, you know, finish that 6 minutes and cover such a greater distance. So that really relates to her cardiovascular endurance, and then improving her balance, as well as the social connections that she built through being part of the group, I think was just the coolest thing to see. And even how her caregiver, you know, I think I'm going to give a quick plug to caregivers. When you're caring for somebody who has had a stroke, it can be extremely difficult. And so having him just come in to work with her, he not only could be part of it with her to help her get better and improve, but also kind of network and build connections of others in the community who are going through the same thing. So I think it's just really powerful in a lot of different ways that even though she had had her stroke so long ago, she was still able to show improvements, and maybe in ways that we're not typically looking at as physical therapists.
It's so cool what you're doing. So many cool stories, success stories. And like I said, you just got a deep relationship with these people, I bet. They're just very hopeful and encouraged from you and inspired by you. So that's cool.
Thank you. Yeah, it is. It's, I think, building hope and giving meaningful treatments is so important for these folks, that they don't want to feel like this is it. And I think a lot of them have heard that from somebody else or another, is that there's nothing else we can do, or there's nothing else you can do. This is where you're going to be the rest of your life. And it is just continuing to kind of like push the envelope and how we treat them and what we give them to facilitate that neuroplasticity.
Yeah. I stopped using the word fix. Now we have a much different clinic, but it's just sending false hope and mixed signals. And, you know, it's all perspective and just laying the foundation and the framework for them. It's like, what are we trying to achieve here?
Right.
And for you guys, you're not going to fix them. You know what I mean? And what does that even mean, that term? You know, you're going to help them, and you don't know how far you can go. You don't know where the ceiling is. So that's exciting for you too, you know, to keep learning and doing research and keep chipping away, like you're saying.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Just keeping the relationship up with the clients and their caregivers is just such a huge part of what I do. And making sure that they know that they have options out there, whether it's group therapy or one-on-one treatments or home therapy, or even referring out to other providers. You know, I think a big part of like 2021 for me as a business is just collaboration out in the community, working with other folks who do have similar mindset to me, you know, making sure that I'm allowing patients to get hooked up with those individuals or collaborating with them myself. So, yeah.
So 2021 is going to be a big year for you. Anything else in the pipeline?
You know, I think the virtual reality right now is the biggest thing as far as equipment, just to elevate those treatments and experiences for patients. Like I mentioned, just collaboration with other providers in the community to really offer comprehensive care, and then offering more community programs, both online and in person, because right now we just don't know what the future is going to hold. And I it's important for me to keep these folks engaged to just prevent decline, especially with how isolated we've all had to become. So just really making sure that they have a wide variety of opportunities. So more to come on those community programs.
Now, how can listeners get more information on you and your business and or make an appointment?
Absolutely. So again, my name is Lindsay Zangi. I'm a neuro PT. They can give me a call. My number is 507-2184. And then also visit my website. It's www.goempowerpt.com. And all the information about the programs I offer and services are there for you to just peruse through at your own, you know, on your own time.
Now, we met maybe 2 years ago now, at least over a year ago. I know we grabbed coffee. We were connected through a mutual patient. You're a friend, my patient. And I would definitely recommend, I've never been treated by you, but you just seem like a very honest, great integrity, do the right thing, and very passionate about what you do. So I would definitely recommend you and your services, especially with the new practice. That's so exciting. So I just want to throw that out there.
Yeah, thank you.
So final question here. If you have a friend coming to Rochester who has never been here, where would you take them?
Okay, so my mind first goes to food, but I'm going to skip that for a second. I think I would definitely, and when my friends come in from out of town, I take them to the Finger Lakes to do like a wine tour. I think because wine is, you know, we have great wine here, similar to like Napa Valley would be, but just the scenery, and I think people think New York and they think New York City, but really what like the Finger Lakes in Rochester has to offer is so amazing. And then
which lake?
I would say Keuka. I really like Seneca too, but
Love it.
And then I would say as far as like restaurants go, I really love Lento, which is a nice farm to table restaurant in Village Gate. I think it highlights a lot of what we have to offer locally from like local farms and you know, agriculture and stuff like that. So yeah, those would be my two top picks. Of course, I think I could go on and on about the restaurants, but I don't know if we have enough time.
A little wine, little food, life is good. Great and answer.
It's great, yeah.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much for your time. I know you're super busy. You're a wife, you're a mother, you're a new business owner. So again, we appreciate what you're doing in our community and thank you for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to be on here and everything you do for folks in the community. So thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks for listening to today's episode. I hope you gained a lot of value from what Lindsay shared with us today, and we'll share this with family and friends. Make sure to hit that subscribe button so you can join me next time with a new local guest in the health and wellness space. I hope you're having an amazing day, and I'll talk with you soon. Thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the show. Again, I'm Dr. Matt Driscoll, owner and operator of Driscoll Chiropractic in Webster, New York. Are you dealing with aches and pains on a daily basis? I'm here to tell you that it does not have to be like that. I want to help you get out of pain. I want to help you solve your problems. I want to unravel what happened in the past to lead to where you're at now. So if that's you and you have questions about your health, call me, text me, email me, go to my website, driscollchiropracticny.com, read a little bit more about myself and my approach. You can call or text 585-672-3870. You can email me info@driscollchiropracticny.com. You can find me on Facebook, Driscoll Chiropractic NY, or on Instagram @dr.driscoll. One more thing, guys, if you don't mind popping over to Apple Podcast Reviews and leaving me a 5-star review or any star, it doesn't matter. It's just feedback for me. And the goal and the mission of this podcast is to reach more people and to help more people. So thanks again, guys, for listening. It means the world to me. Buckle up. I got some great guests lined up. Talk to you soon.